Can you give some examples of what people say happens to them with abductions?
Okay, well, I get a lot of the classic things, but I don't get that complete consistency that a lot of people describe. And also, I'm going to mention that Elaine talks about this kind of this appropriation of personality or appropriation of the experiencer's life. I have not seen that as much. I've seen in some ways attempts at that, but I haven't seen it succeed as much as Elaine is describing. So to answer your question, when people describe the abduction scenario, I would say 8 or 9 out of 10 describe the bedroom intrusion, the capture from the bed. They're floated out, up a beam, and, you know, kind of the usual stuff that you would read in Bud Hopkins, David Jacobs, anybody else that had written about the topic. The standard capture scenario is almost identical. And then once in there, I would say a lot of them are, I would say 90% are female. And most of them describe the hybrid and the impregnation and things like that. So it's a pretty standard scenario in a lot of ways.
And either one of you can get into this. How do you explain that? I guess it would be one of two ways, actually, what's happening. By the prevalence of the information and the evidence, and secondly, yeah. Maybe there's some copycat stuff going on. Is that possible?
Well, it's possible.
People hear abduction stories, and then you put them under,
yeah.
And they repeat that.
There have been several cases. I would say the null hypothesis, if you will, kind of the. What a skeptic would say would be that some of this is false pregnancy. I don't know. It's entirely possible that some of this might have a psychological explanation, but the explanations for the same phenomenon, you know, different aspects of the same phenomenon or different circumstances under which it occurs would have to be very widely varied. The single simplest explanation is for all of this phenomenon that we see surrounding alien abduction is that it's actually happening.
Are these people shaken up when they come out of the trance or however how you want to phrase it? I mean, it's an experience that most of them...
Yeah. I tend to part company with a lot of hypnotists that do this in that if I see a lot of emotion coming through, we switch right over to healing work. We don't, I don't do any more digging at that point. Healing becomes a top priority. I think there might or might not be, and several of the other hypnotists that are listening or going to be on here probably could, tell me more about their own techniques or methodologies, but when I see this happen, we switch right over to healing mode. You know, the research hat goes on the shelf and the healing hat goes on the head. But having said that, yes, it can be some pretty traumatic stuff. A few weeks ago, I worked with a client that she had a fetal extraction done, and it was absolutely devastating. She was just, I had a few tears in my own eyes as I was doing it. It was just, it's absolutely devastating because it seems to be it's at about the fourth month of gestation is when it seems to occur. And just at the point where they bonded, mother and fetal child have bonded, and they're accepted the fact that they're pregnant, even though it may be somehow could that happen, but that biological acceptance has occurred, and then the extraction occurs, and it's just devastating.
Yeah, Elaine, many of these people, and I certainly understand why, they never recover from these experiences, especially if they're part of a hybridization program. You've probably done many, many articles about things like that.
Are you talking to me or Elaine?
Elaine.
Okay. Your question, Jerry?
Yeah, you've probably done a lot of articles about this fertilization program, the hybridization, and it always seems to have a huge effect on the female, which is understandable. And I'm just asking you, basically, what do you think about this practice? Is it pretty much everyone that's abducted? And Craig, you can get in on this too. Are they there because of the fertilization or hybridization program, or?
I will say many are. I'm not going to say all of them because there seems to be enough. There seems to be a number of different roles of participation, or roles of whatever, use or whatever. They seem to be a lot of the long-term female experiencers. Yeah, that seems to be the case that they're. You know, if some woman is a lifelong abductee, they've probably got about 3 or 4 star children out there somewhere by the time they're in their 40s.
Yeah, we're talking about bloodlines a little earlier, Craig.
Yeah.
Does it seem to follow families?
I think about that.
So, mother and daughter, I know 2 or 3 have been on our shows over the years.
Yeah. It seems to go. What I've observed is that it seems to go down the maternal family line.
And so, we don't really. Do you have a clue? I don't have a clue, but maybe you do, Craig, or maybe you do, Elaine, about who's doing it and why. I mean, is there more than one group of people, ETs from different places, doing it, or do we have any?
Why is that an important question, Jerry?
Yeah, what I'm asking is, I want to know what you think about who's doing this. I mean, is it one group of ETs, or they describe different people? The grays is basically what we hear about.
I have a theory.
Yeah.
You want me to go ahead on that?
Go ahead.
Okay,
I'd like to hear the theory.
I talk about that in my book. I'm going to take a moment to do a shameless plug for my book here. Can I do that?
There's nothing wrong with a shameless plug occasionally.
Okay, all right. Shameless plug, begin shameless plug now. My book is called The Cosmic Bridge. It's on, its subtitle is Close Encounters and Human Destiny, where I take this question kind of head on, what seems to be going on. I offer some theories as to what might be happening. Bearing in mind that they are theories, I don't claim to know the truth. But based on the pieces and bits that I have put together, both through the literature and through what experiencers have told me, one hypothesis that I've developed in there is that there's a human improvement project going on. I know Elaine doesn't agree with this, but it's a hypothesis. But that it's a human improvement project. If you look at the Earth from the point of view of them out there, whoever them might be, some cosmic civilization that's kind of keeping an eye on things around our sector of the galaxy, you would find that there is this race of basically 2-year-olds with nuclear weapons developing, and we're within a few hundred years of developing star travel. And you can't tell me that we're going to be particularly spiritually enlightened within a few hundred years. So my own thought is that if I were the cosmic civilization, I would be very nervous about these kids with nuclear weapons suddenly flying out into the galaxy. So I would be busy trying to either somehow make them become acceptable to the outside world, the outside universe or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there would probably be some kind of a human improvement project going on. And that seems, I'm betting, probably not a lot of money, but I would bet a little bit that there's some kind of something along those lines going on.
Okay, now Elaine, Craig says you don't agree. Well, what do you think's going on?
Well, Craig Lang is one of the best investigators and therapists in working with abductees, and I have really great respect and affection for Craig Lane. And the only comment I would make would be that the idea that the aliens are here to help humanity in some way, human improvement, is also explained in an alternative way, that this idea comes from the aliens, that it's part of their output, that they've told the abductees this over and over. They tell us, you know, they get here and they tell us their opening position, the aliens' opening position is, we're okay, you're not okay. We're morally superior, yeah. We're technologically superior, and there's something wrong with you. And then they proceed with this coercive tactic, which is kidnapping. And there's, you know, since the purpose, as I see it, of the whole abduction relationship with each individual is to cause a capitulation of the abductee's will, they use many explanations that they provide to people to palliate, you know, to excuse what is going on. They tell us that they're here to help us. And what do we know? I mean, we're just like the natives on the shores of the Bahamas when Columbus showed up. You know, we don't know who these people are, where they came from. All we know is they've got some really, really good machines. And we hope, we really do hope, because we're so defenseless, that they're here to help us. And so when they tell us that they're here to help us, then we believe it. But
there you go.
You
Can
see,
I comment on that?
We believe it, but we have to at least entertain alternative explanations. The
Can I comment
alternative
on that?
Pardon me?
Can I comment on it?
Yeah, you can comment on it since she's finished.
Okay.
No, I'm not finished.
Go ahead.
The alternative explanation is that we're being told that they're here to help us in order to cause us to be more trusting and cooperative with them, and even more fervently espouse them and so on. And so it's easy to see where that kind of belief could arise, and it doesn't make it true.
Okay, Greg, your comment.
First of all, most of the stuff I'm looking at here is based, what I'm basing my conclusions on is the dynamic between the visitors and the experiencer, not what the visitors are telling the experiencer. Basically, I conclude about the same thing you do, Elaine, that visitors tell the experiencer is usually fat and BS. And there's probably some purpose for that, that it's like a psychology experiment or something like that, more than anything else.
Yep.
No, I think that it has nothing to do with, they're not here for our enlightenment or anything like that. Their reasons for being here are entirely motivated by their own benefit, for their own self-interest, and that is to prevent, you know, and again, this is a hypothesis. There are, in Bridge, I actually proposed several tests for that hypothesis that we could perform to see whether it's correct or not. But what I suggest is that they're interested in preventing a unruly bunch of barbarians, quote unquote. You know, I'm being very sarcastic there, or very exaggerating, but from spilling out into the galaxy and imperiling them. It's in their interest to see that we are somehow, not necessarily for our own benefit, but we're somehow civilized or coothified, if you will, before we start building warp drives.
Have you ever thought about the alternative idea that perhaps these ETs are just as barbaric as we are?
They are
kidnapping people.
If they intend to restrain us, if they intend to restrain our barbaric tendencies, Craig, how exactly are they going to go about doing that? Are we going to like it? Are we going to be able to vote on it, or, you know, how is it going to happen?
Good question. I don't know the answer to that. You know, that's one of the things I make.
Either one of you go on, let me say explain what I'm talking about here. I'm saying maybe there's more than one group doing these things, and they have different reasons.
That's entirely believable.
And they have different reasons. There may be some creatures of light out there and goodness, angels of the good.
Yeah.
But I think, and it's just not, well, it might be my broadcast background. The demons are far, far more ratings attractive. But I think there are demons out there. I mean, not everybody that you've had under hypnosis, and not everybody, Elaine, that you've written about, was treated really very well. Some were, but many of them, are scarred for life. So at the very least, these extraterrestrials, to me, don't seem like they have much compassion or psychology for people.
The point of
they wouldn't be doing that.
Jerry, the point of the abductions is not to give people a good time or a bad time. The point is to precipitate a capitulation of the abductee's personality.
What do you think about that, Greg?
I don't see that. I have seen where it seems to me to be kind of a scientist-lab animal relationship. They don't particularly care. You know, a scientist doesn't particularly care what the lab mouse thinks of it. It's more, the lab mouse is in the scientist's laboratory for the purpose of the scientist's experiment. And it's, from the mouse's point of view, the scientist is entirely self-serving. It doesn't really, the mouse's benefit isn't really anywhere in there. And it seems to me to be kind of a similar relationship. And having said that, I don't even begin to know what the quote-unquote alien agenda is. And I, Jerry, very much agree with your idea that there's multiple groups, multiple agendas, multiple things going on. The phenomenon is just so complex that we, you know, any speculation that I make about it is probably only covers a little piece of it.
We are going to take a break, and later on in next hour, we'll have Peter Robbins joining us, who is a good friend of Bud Hopkins and David Jacobs and other pioneers, and his sister was involved in abductions, and I think you'll find that interesting. And then we have Stan Romanek, who will be joining us in the next hour, and Stan has a pretty horrific story in many ways, and so we'll expose that to Craig and Elaine, and we'll kick this around for the next couple of hours, and we'll try to figure out what the heck is going on. It just doesn't sound very good to me, and but it could be. We'll have to see. I've always kind of thought that it's kind of like the people in the wildlife game refuges tagging animals, you know? Seems like they're tracking the same bloodline down.
I think that metaphor is very apt.
Yeah, what about you, Elaine? Do you agree with that at all?
No, because many of the abductions turn into full-blown political scenarios. I mean, one of the best... most instructive abduction cases to study is Jim Sparks, who changed from being, unmitigatedly hostile to the aliens that were capturing him, to at the end of his book, after the aliens put him through all their paces to break his will and succeeded in doing so, where he's virtually groveling at their feet. And as far as the political scenario, it ends up the end, or he has a tumultuous meetings with the reptilians in a deserted carnival yard, and they tell him all about the U.S. government and what they want him to do with respect to the government, and how culpable our government is, and the unspeakable crimes that have been committed by our government. So no, I don't see it as, you don't do all that stuff with lab rats.
We'll be back with Elaine Douglas and Craig Lane, and Peter Robbins will join us next hour as well, and we'd like to hear from you. I'm Jerry Pippin.
You know, on the internet, you can get lost. You hear some people, some hosts saying, bookmark us, put us on your favorites. Well, that's a good idea. If you don't have one of our websites or all three of them on your favorites, we suggest you do that now and come back often. We change content every day. So come and see us at jerrypippin.com, iPodShows.net, and UFOShowsToGo.com. And we continue with our abduction special. Dr. David Jacobs explains the procedure.
My own research then began to involve trying to figure out a chronology of exactly what happens during an abduction event. When people say that they are abducted, what do they mean by that? What I found was is that you could get a minute-by-minute chronology for the 2 hours in which they were gone. People are physically missing from their normal environments when they are abducted. These events happen in real time. Police have been called. Search parties have been sent out. Parents have been frantic about their missing children. Children have been frantic about their missing parents. People are rendered passive before the abduction event occurs. They are taken out of their normal environment. It might be a car, it might be their bedroom, it might be their living room, it might be their backyard. They are taken on board an object. Their clothes are removed. They sit in a waiting area. They see other people there, all who don't have clothes on, all who are glassy-eyed. Small gray beings take them into a room. The room is going to have a large number of tables in it. They are placed on a table. There is a series of physical, mental, and reproductive procedures that are administered to them. People began to report that they were having embryos injected into them and sometimes retrieved from them. Then they're taken into another room, and there might be somebody standing there waiting to have them hold a baby. The baby looks odd, strange, looks sort of like a mixture between human and alien. They're required to hold the baby, they're required to stroke the baby, they're required to have the woman feed the baby. Their clothes are then put back on. Sometimes they put their clothes on backwards by accident because their brains are sort of addled a little bit. Every once in a while, they'll be handed the wrong clothes, put on somebody else's clothes, come back to their normal environment. Maybe they're sitting on the couch watching television, they're back sitting on the couch, and they realize that the show that they were waiting to see was over with a couple hours ago, and they're wearing someone else's clothes. This is what people tell me, and they tell it to me over and over again with increasing regularity and intensity.
That was Dr. David Jacobs pretty much summing up the entire abduction story in a couple of minutes. And Dr. Jacobs issues of his apology for not being here tonight, but he had a choice of either being on the show or getting a divorce. And the reason I say that is because he's on vacation up at Cape Cod, and his wife had some plans tonight. And Dr. Jacobs thought he could sneak away for at least for an hour, but it's not going to work. But he'll be joining us in our next abduction special, which will be either in late September or October. And our telephone number is 888-919-2355, toll-free if you have questions. We've got some callers. We'll go to them in a minute. But Elaine and Craig, I want to thank both of you for being on the panel and for being candid and putting forth some disagreements. That's what this is all about. And I think we're all interested in getting to the truth, if it's possible. But there may be more than one truth. Don't both of you agree to that?
Yeah, I agree.
How about you, Elaine?
Well, I think that this idea that there's more than one alien group, even though there really might be more than one alien group, but there's an alternative explanation for why that arose. If an abductee...
The reason I said that earlier is because there have been more than one description of who's abducting people. Craig, have you found that?
Yeah, I have a very wide variety of beings that are seen, and not all of the shore parties, if you will, are small grays. So.
We'll track Peter Robbins down in a quarter hour or so and have him join the conversation. He's also on vacation.
He's also
on vacation out in Arizona.
The question of what the aliens look like is not as important to me as whether they're under one political command.
Yeah.
You know, they could be looking different and be under one political command.
That's a good point. I tell you what, we have a caller here. Let's go to them. Area code 823, you're on the air.
Good. I would like to tell my story. I think I've been had an experience with mainly the grays. That my mind is so, how could I say this, like fragments. It's been like 2 years ago since I feel like the grays have been, you know, taking me. I used to have like every night sleep paralysis, and then I'll just wake up thinking that I was taken or maybe I went somewhere, and I just didn't know how to handle that. I don't know what they did to me. I'm not even sure. I just know it was four grays, and that's pretty much all I have.
So both of you, Elaine and Craig, here's a man calling. It says he's not sure, but he thinks abductions have happened. I guess, Craig, before you put people under, that's probably the scenario they talk about. Do they suspect it already?
Yeah, they don't know. There's a lot of times that, you know, this caller, can we call you by a particular name? Are you pseudonym or anything? A first name you want to use?
Yeah, caller, what can we call you by? What's your first name?
My first name is Jimmy.
Okay, Jimmy.
Jimmy?
Yes.
So the first, you know, usually like the callers like Jimmy have a lot of unusual events that they sort of are the tip of the iceberg, just poking up into conscious awareness. And sometimes that's all there is to it. And I have taken people into trance and had them describe exactly a sleep paralysis event. Other time, the majority of times, it's probably some kind of an interaction with the phenomenon. What I would suggest is, well, first of all, Jimmy, let me ask you this. Have you had other unusual things happen in your life besides this, besides the little fragments of memory that you described?
Well, I don't remember this, but my parents, they told me that when I was little, around 3 years old, that at the middle of the night, I would have conversations with a kid somewhere in the living room or somewhere in the room. That they couldn't see him, and I just kept on pointing on the doorway, and he's over there.
Okay. Could they hear the other child? Could they hear your companion, or could they just hear you?
No, they would just hear me talking to them, and then when they walk out in the room and ask me about him, he wasn't there no more.
Okay. Yeah, because were you able to see the other being, your companion?
No, like I tell you, this was when I was very little. I don't remember this. My
okay,
parents
so you don't
told
remember.
Me about
okay.
this.
Okay, so you don't remember. Okay. Yeah, there's, how about since then? You know, how about in that, since then in time when your conscious mind is laying down memories after about three or four?
In other words, I think he's asking you if you've had similar experiences in the older life.
Yeah, later on, once you started remembering things, do you have any other unusual events that you can remember?
Only 2 years ago is when I started having these visitations, like it's grays, and I kind of wore them off myself. They haven't bothered me, but I feel like I'm being, you know, surveilled. Sometimes I feel like they're watching me.
Have you had any other UFO sightings or kind of paranormal events or psychic events or anything like that? Other unusual things besides memories of alien beings or anything like that?
I have never seen a UFO. I actually was pretty skeptic at some point. When I was younger, around 12 and 13, I used to believe in aliens and stuff, but I said, I've never seen a UFO, I've never seen an alien, why should I believe this, you know?
Okay. How about you, have you had any psychic experiences or anything?
Psychics? No, not really.
Okay, any kind of unusual coincidences or things like that?
Coincidences? No.
Okay, all right, How about the rest? How about in your family? Have you had? Has there been any kind of unusual experiences in your family line? Either your parents, or your children, or grandparents?
My grandparents in Mexico. I'm originally from Mexico. Their house, they had pretty unusual paranormal things, from shadows to seeing people on mirrors and stuff like that. But I never seen none of that.
Okay,
caller. Thanks for calling in and telling us the story. Elaine and Craig, I had lots of nightmares when I was a kid. It was very spooky. Saw the movie The Thing. I couldn't sleep at night for a long time. The problem here, it appears to me, is not only do people have abduction experiences, but we have other psychological things happening to us.
Yeah, that's there's a lot of null hypotheses for different aspects of the phenomenon, and one of them, like sleep awareness during sleep paralysis, is itself a bona fide phenomenon, and various dream events, lucid dreaming, out-of-body experiences, things like that are all pretty well documented in themselves, and they have nothing to do with alien encounters, at least in the immediate sense that we're talking about. And when I've taken people into trance on a number of occasions, it's turned out to be just exactly that. You know, either some kind of dream material or some kind of a metaphysical experience, or just simply awareness during sleep paralysis. One person described being in REM sleep, being unable to move, but, it was purely an ASP event, awareness during sleep paralysis. So there are a lot of non-alien explanations for a lot of these things.
Yeah, Elaine Douglas, the one thing that stood out in that caller to me was the fact that, and it went hand in hand with what Dr. David Jacobs was talking about at the top of the hour, is that the abductees range in all sorts of stations of life, from working people to high top executives to even probably top people in the military. In fact, I know several people in the military that suspect they've been abducted. And haven't you found that the case?
I think that this fellow that called Jimmy, since he remembers the presence of grays, we didn't ask him what they looked like, but we'll just have to take his word for it that he remembers the presence of grays. And if that's the case, then I think he's an abductee. And the event that he reported from the age of 3, where he's got this invisible companion in the room and he's talking to them, and his parents get up and they say, "Who are you talking to?" They find their 3-year-old in the middle of the living room talking to somebody that they can't see, shows the length of time, you know, that the aliens work with people, decades and decades. This fellow sounded, I don't know, like maybe he's 30 years old, but that if he is, then that means that the aliens have been working with him for 30 years. And that's what it takes, in my view, to get really the abductee into the position that the aliens want them to be in, which is completely persuaded of something. It takes a long time.
Interesting. It's an interesting hypothesis, and you're definitely right. Some people have decades of experience. Craig and Elaine, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to bring in Peter Robbins next. And okay. He has some interesting things to talk about, and he'll join our panel. So don't go away, folks. And then next hour, we have Stan Romanek to join us. There's quite a story as well. All of this and much more coming up on our abduction special. I'm Jerry Pippin. Don't go away.